It's occasionally our habit here on RN Drive to head west of Asia, and we'll be doing that right now. Anthony Bubalo is our expert guide. He's director of the West Asia program at the Lowy Institute. Today, Lebanon. That's at the centre of our attention and our discussion. Anthony, good evening.
Good evening.
A lot of talk recently about Lebanon being drawn into the Syrian conflict. Can you walk us through what's happening there?
So, as we've seen over the last couple of years, we see a fairly intense conflict in Syria, attempts by the opposition to overthrow the regime there. This conflict has a very strong sectarian base. The regime is based around the Alawite minority. Much of the opposition is Sunni. And some of that sectarian conflict is now spilling across the border into Lebanon, which has had its own sectarian confessional problems over the years, a bloody civil war there for many years. You have different parts of the sectarian makeup of Lebanon supporting different sides of the conflict in Syria. So it's part of a broader kind of issue that we've seen in the region in the last couple of years in the since the Arab uprisings. There's sectarian tension. One of the byproducts of the Arab uprisings has been a general increase in sectarian tensions across the region.
It's probably a hardly surprising consequence of those uprisings and the removal of various focuses of power that these older issues and resentments would surface and bubble to the surface.
That's right. I mean, these things have always been there. But what happens when the political order changes, particularly the minority communities who were either at the centre of that order, as we saw in Syria, or, for example, in Egypt, that felt protected by the old order, and here I'm talking about the kind of the Christian community, that they now feel very insecure. And the sectarian and confessional tensions, you know, are already kind of spilling into open conflict in places. And if not conflict, then certainly grave fears about, you know, what the future will hold for these communities.
Now, those conflicts have had dramatic shape in Lebanon previously. Are we concerned that the proximity of Syria and this crossover of those tensions might inflame those tensions within Lebanon?
Absolutely. I mean, the sectarian dimension. I mean, if there's one place in the Middle East that suffers from these sectarian and confessional problems, it is Lebanon. As I said, we saw a bloody civil war there for many years around those. The political system is, in fact, it's organised to try and manage those tensions. So, for example, the president is always a Christian. The prime minister is a Sunni, and the speaker of the parliament is a Shiite. So, you know, there's no question. But it's not just Lebanon. You know, there are I mean, what we're also seeing in Syria is a kind of regional competition for power played out by, you know, on the one hand, the big Sunni power, Saudi Arabia, and the region's Shiite power, Iran. So it's not just in Lebanon. It goes broader than that as well.
Time, I think, Anthony, for you to do your hostly duties and introduce our guest this evening.
Yes, we're very lucky to have with us Ziad Mikati, who is an advisor to the Lebanese Prime Minister, or should I say the former Lebanese Prime Minister and currently the caretaker Prime Minister, Najib Mikati. He's visiting Australia as a part of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade Special Visits Program. But we're not actually talking to him in his capacity as an advisor to the Prime Minister, but rather as a member of a coalition called the Acting for Change Coalition, which brings together experts and NGOs in Lebanon and a number of other Middle Eastern countries, including Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, and Turkey, that's working at a grassroots level to try and strengthen relations between moderate factions across the region, but also is working with religious leaders to try and address these growing sectarian and confessional tensions.
Excellent. Ziad, welcome.
Thank you.
Ziad, I think it'd be very useful just to talk a little bit about the ways in which the Arab uprisings and the current situation in the region has exacerbated some of those existing tensions we were talking about at the outset.
Yes. Thank you, Anthony, for the introduction. I just want to say that I'm very much happy and very proud to be in Australia right now and to be meeting with public policy analysts from the Australian Foreign Ministry, but also meeting with real representatives of the Lebanese community, the diverse Lebanese communities with all its factions all over Australia. The issue in Lebanon and the region, as you may say, that yes, In the West and in the world, people say that we had an Arab Spring. I want to say that this spring isn't really a spring because it is a winter to all of us. We all aimed and wanted a change to these dictatorships that were there forever. But this change, I think the region wasn't ready for yet. Affiliated with many divisions and sectarian strife all across the region, that is causing a lot of tension across our borders with Syria. But the problem today is not only the sectarian issue that is being very much felt across the region. The problem is beyond these sectarian issues. The problem is who is supporting the inflammation of the sectarian war across the region between Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, and many other countries. And Iraq is an example of that. Today, we have to be very, very, very clear on what is the Syrian opposition and what is the Syrian regime. I mean, you definitely said that the Alawites are represented by the regime and the Sunnis are the majority of the opposition. But also, we always forget the moderates on both sides and the liberals on both sides who are quite marginalized by the media and by the analysts in this world because we have strong Alawites who are a member of our coalition who want definitely a democratic transition in Syria. They want to change to the regime. They do not affiliate with the president of Syria at all, knowing the fact that they are Alawites. And we do have Sunnis, on the other hand, who are very much supportive of Bashar al-Assad's regime. So it's not really 100% Sunni or 100% Alawite or 100% Shiite or Christian. We have factions from each of the sides supporting the other. But the problem today is that the violent groups on both sides are predominantly taking over the picture of the
See,
mainstream.
that alienation of the moderates, not just in Syria, not just in Lebanon, but across the Arab world, must be that's a fundamental issue.
It is definitely. It is because the fundamentalists are more organized. They have a strategy. They know where to what issues to tackle. But more importantly, is for the past 40 years, the region suffered from dictatorships. We lacked institutions. We lacked a proper democratic system. People did not feel any salvation through any other institution but religion. And that's why these fundamentalists and religious groups are becoming more popular these days, because of that. And today, as a young Lebanese person myself, who is a moderate and supportive of the liberal movements across the region, I must say that the seculars are very much marginalized in the region because they have no say and we're not very well organized together. So the whole purpose of the coalition that Anthony was mentioning right now is for us to come together across the region to come with a unified vision and strategy and to start working on the grassroots level with all stakeholders.
Ziad, why don't you can you tell us, give us a few examples of the way in which your coalition is working to kind of break down some of these divisions?
Sure. Well, we're basically working on the policy, advocacy, and services level. So there are three different natures we're working and tackling. We're working in Lebanon and across the region. Let me start with just mentioning Lebanon. This is the country where I come from, and I'll be happy to speak about it today. Is that on the policy level, we, as a civil society, we advised the government on a special policy recommendation that integrate peace education in the national education curricula. As you may know, that Lebanon suffered from a long 15 years of civil war, and there was no real reconciliation on the local level. There was political reconciliation, but there was never a local public reconciliation. So the peace education is our first step towards paving the way towards reconciliation and attaining it. And the integration process will start in 2014, where all public and private schools will be obliged to integrate it within their national education curricula. This is on the policy level. On the outreach or advocacy programs, we are organizing in partnership with many private sector representatives and the media, different campaigns through scouts, through street parties, street art, you know, where we have indirect messages about coexistence and about respect to the other, about respecting the rule of law, about the right of gender rights, about the rights of the others and minorities. And this is a big process that is taking place all across Lebanon today through more than 32 NGOs within our coalition, and they're working across the whole country. And we have positive examples from that program. The third level we work on, which is services, is that we provide counseling for people who have suffered from sectarian strife. And this is a very sensitive program. It's in affiliation with the Lebanon's most important universities, the Lebanese American University, the American University of Beirut, and St. Joseph's University, where we do counseling programs for families who are affected, but also for people who are victimized because of that issue. So it's on different levels, Anthony.
And I can see, Ziad, that working at the grassroots in that way is very important, but must be a long and slow process to build that sense of cohesion at that level.
Yeah.
Obviously important.
Definitely, very much, very much. It is a long process, as we may say, but again, it never happened. And if we don't start from somewhere, we will never reach anywhere. So we are very much optimistic. We have 42% of our population under the age of 30. They're young people. They want the change. They're fed up of being driven into sectarian strife where no one's benefiting from. Unemployment is very high among them. Brain drain is huge in Lebanon. People are just leaving. Young people are leaving. The cultural aspect of Lebanon is demolishing because of the number of people leaving the country. So I think there is a mutual will among the young people in the country to start the change.
Ziad, one of the interesting projects that you're involved in is the renovation of a synagogue in Lebanon. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm very happy to announce it, and I think it will be the first time I'm announcing it officially from Australia.
Well, yeah, an exclusive for the West of Asia program.
Yes, very much, very much.
Where the big announcements are made.
Yeah, that Lebanon, the first country in the Levant, in the region, officially renovated its only Jewish synagogue in Beirut, which is a historical synagogue built in the early 20th century. And we are supporting its renovation. The renovation will end in 4 months. We are expecting an official opening of the synagogue. The synagogue is protected by the government of Lebanon and by all the factions of the Lebanese community. Because, Anthony, before we started our renovation process of the synagogue, we had to reach out to all the Lebanese factions and see what do they think of the renovation. And we are very blessed to see that most of them were with the renovation of the synagogue.
That's a very, very concrete example, I think, of what you're trying to achieve and the joining of people of various belief and interest in your country.
Exactly.
Ziad, thank you. Ziad McCarty has been our guest, along with Anthony Bubalo. Ziad McCarty, an advisor to the caretaker Prime Minister Najib McCarty of Lebanon. Anthony Bubalo, director of the West Asia Program at the Lowy Institute, because that's been West of Asia. And this is RN Drive.